Thank you very much. Thank you for clapping. Thank you. So, what I'm going to do is tell you who I am while spinning round and round and round, because I've realised I've walked into a circle. I should have stayed where I was. What a fool. So I'm dizzy. So if you don't know who I am, this is what I look like. I've not always looked like this. I used to be a baby. Long time ago. Now I'm completely different. So I'm a comedian, and I think that's why Martha, there she is. Everyone's spinning around. So Martha said, come and talk to them about happiness, because I'm a comedian, and normally when it goes well, people laugh, and that makes them happy. That is happiness. I don't know. What is happiness? Does anyone know what happiness is? We don't know. That's why we're having a conference about it. We have a kind of idea. Then you've got a bad view. Well, many ways, the best view. No. Don't look there. Please don't look there. Is she looking? I don't mind standing here and talking to the rest of you, but please, if she starts looking at my bottom, can someone just put their hand up? Because it's not fair. Once you've had a look, then swap with someone else and give them a turn. Yeah? Just move round and you all get a look, or I'll stand in the middle and I will just do this. I just do this. Martha said, please come along. You've got one of the loveliest bottoms in show business. We'll sit in a circle if you could just walk around, and we'll just cop a look as much as we can whilst you talk nonsense at us. Now, people often say to me, you're a lovely boy, and you bring so much joy to people, and you're possibly the greatest comedian working, certainly in England, probably the world, and you understand people, and yet you sometimes are sad. How can it be that a perfect enlightened being like you also is sometimes sad? And that seems like a paradox, doesn't it? And I say to them, Mum, I am perfect, you're right. But I'm a comedian, and don't you know all comedians are miserable depressives? So the reason I'm the world's greatest expert on happiness is because I have been so sad and miserable for many moments in my life, and so I'm an expert on misery, really. My current ex-girlfriend. Last year, for my birthday, guess what she gave me for my birthday? Can you guess what she gave me? Can you guess? No one can guess. What she gave me, she bought me a one-way ticket to South America. Okay, she lives in London. Happy birthday. A one-way ticket to South America. So I went to South America, and I was invited to teach a stand-up comedy course, teach people how to be comedians. And as I was teaching them how to be comedians, I realised that I wasn't teaching them how to be comedians, really. I was teaching them a little trick, which is what I will tell you. I believe that as somebody who has tried to be happy so hard... no one has tried harder than I have to be happier. I mean, I really have tried very hard to be happy. And I believe that the greatest impediment to happiness is the pursuit of happiness. You can't do it. But before I say that there's no point in trying to be happy, I will say that later, but I'm not going to say it yet. Before I say it, a lot of people, when I say it, think that I'm being flippant or nihilistic, or contradicting deeply held personal beliefs, and that's true. But it's not a problem. It isn't a problem. I have seen the truth, and it cannot be put into words. So let me tell you about it. Language is inadequate for most things. So let's do some talking about it. Okay. So there we go. So what is a joke? What is a joke? A joke is... basically, there's always more than one way of seeing a thing, okay? For example, a little furry caterpillar for one man is another man's fun moustache for parties. Yeah, that is the essence. Is it a wave or is it a particle? Is it an icicle or is it a lolly? The world is what you is how you label it, how you perceive it, and there's no one right way. And I think that's the essence of comedy. You're always looking for the other way of seeing it. And eventually you realise that there's an infinite way of seeing anything. And that's the key. So... probably after Jesus, the greatest teacher, certainly for me, is Paul McCartney, and no one really, not even Jesus, understood it as well as Paul did when he said, "Let it be," and because I think that's the thing. It's what's that game where you know the game where there's little animals pop up and you have to smack them, whack-a-mole. Have you seen that? Whack-a-mole. Yeah, so trying to be happy, or trying to eliminate sadness, or trying to make the world a better place and eliminate suffering is like that game of whack-a-mole. You can't... It's like... It's like... Because the only way you can get... the only way you have right is because you have left, or the only way you have wrong is because you have right. Or up or down. Remember the animals? They went into the ark 2x2. Hurrah! Hurrah! Yeah? Remember that? Good and bad. So, and then Newton. What did Newton say? Ouch! He said ouch. Newton said ouch. Because why did he say ouch? Who said it? Because what? He got bitten by an apple. Newton, remember Newton in the Garden of Eden? And, everything was perfect until he decided to sit on an apple. And God had warned him. He said, "I give you an apple, but whatever you do, don't be tempted to sit on it." And because Newton was a vain and wicked woman, like all of them, he wanted to sit on that apple. Why would God have made an apple if I'm not supposed to sit on it? And so Newton sat on the apple, and rightly so, it bit him. And we learn from that every action has an equal and opposite reaction. Okay? And so the only reason we know that something is hot is because we know what cold is. Something is good because we know what evil is. So I have a campaign at the moment, which is to do as much evil as possible in the full knowledge that everything has an equal and opposite reaction, and the results of my evil actions, hopefully, necessarily, will follow Newton's third law of apple squashing, which eventually will be more good. So please join me in this campaign. I deliberately don't give money to charity. I mean, very naughty. Knowing that the naughtier I am, the better other people will have to be. In fact, I'm a thoroughly despicable person, so that other people can be really good. And if I can get enough people behind me on this one, I'm sure I can form a queue. Or maybe even the conga. I wasn't brought up in a religious school. I was brought up religious. I was brought up in a scientific environment. We weren't punished for breaking the Ten Commandments. We were punished for breaking the laws of physics. You had to boil water at 100 degrees. One of my friends was told off for boiling water at 90 degrees. Never boil water at a right angle. Can't do that. I was expelled for stealing from the tuck shop. Not because stealing's wrong, but I was also in a chemistry lesson. I was expelled for being in two places at the same time, which is against the laws of physics. I was taught. I mean, I went to school. I mean, some of you probably have. And again, what a horrible thing to do to a child. Send it to a school. I had to go. Before I went to school, I was literally perfect. I was brilliant. I mean, it was amazing. You should have seen me. I was a tiny little thing, didn't do anything, and everyone loved me. Oh, look at you. They picked me up. They cuddled me. They fed and clothed me. Then I went to school, and I was not good enough. Being me was not enough. And I learned that in order to be happy, to be successful, to be a good person, you had to do things. You had to do things so that you could be good. And that's how I tried to live my life. I had to do a thing, and then in the future I would be good. And there's nothing wrong with that, apart from it is utterly mistaken. Because what I have finally noticed is that happiness happens. And the only reason anyone laughs when I talk rubbish into a microphone is because they have a sense of humour within them. They find the funny. They sense the humour. I have never made anyone laugh. No one has ever made me laugh. No one has ever made me happy or made me sad. Happiness and sadness happen, and sometimes I get the blame or the praise. There's nothing to do or that could be done, all that needs to be done. It's all happening. And when we think we're doing something, there's nothing wrong with thinking we're doing something. People often ask me, can you believe it? People often message me, and this is not a joke. People often say, Trevor, what is the meaning of life? Just because I have a degree in philosophy. They ask me, and what I say to them is, do nothing. Do nothing. Do nothing. Can anyone do nothing? Try it. Try and do nothing. When you were 17, you could do nothing. What happened after then? You can't remember. He's doing it again. He's gone back. There's nothing to be done, and happiness happens, everything's perfect, really, isn't it? Even when it's wrong, there's nothing going wrong. How can you know? How can anybody? You're nodding. You're nodding and doing that with your foot. As if to say, yes, yes, get off. Go, keep away from me. I agree, go away. I like you, I kick you. Yes, no, you see? A true Zen master. She can hold, she can live in a naked, negative, positive state. So before I begin, are there any questions? Does anyone have anything? I mean, does anyone need healing? I can heal you. Usually it's enough just to be in my presence. Does anyone want to touch me? Would you like to touch me, sir? I heal you. You're healed. Heal, heal, I heal. Sit. They're already sitting. Sit. Walk is... So, yeah. So I hope it's clear. I hope it's clear. You know, and don't put me up on a pedestal. That's the other thing. A lot of people do this. You know, I am. In many ways, I'm just the same as you. And I know you. And you put me up. You look at me, and you think, "Well, how does he do it?" And let me tell you, I also suffer. Yeah, I know it's hard to believe. Sometimes I get things wrong. You know. So I understand. We're the same. Don't follow me. If you want to follow me, that's fine. I'll lose you. I'll dodge you. I'll end up following you. You see, they found me. And I said to them, give me one afternoon off. And they said, Trevor, what shall we do without you for one afternoon? And I said, I don't know. March around the streets with some banners. We end on a reading from. It's probably one of my jokes that they're chanting. Yeah. I hope it's been clear. I hope my message has been clear. Has it been clear? Do you understand it, Elizabeth? You've misunderstood it then. Yeah. So there's no message, I think. That's the point. The point is there is no point, which is pointless, really. It's all here. You shaking your head? Why are you shaking your head, sir?
I don't understand what they're saying.
You don't need to understand what they're saying. It's the emotion behind it. They're saying the same as everything. They're saying, oh, there's not enough happiness. Oh, those people have done something wrong. What about this person here who's their shoe fell off? You know, they're complaining and it's fine that they're complaining. But you know, tomorrow they'll be singing. So Walt Whitman said. At the end of one of his paragraphs, there was never any more inception than there is now, nor any more youth or age than there is now, and will never be any more perfection than there is now, nor any more heaven or hell than there is now. Now, of course, he wrote that 100 years ago. He didn't realise. But back then, if we could just get back to when he was alive, apparently things were perfect. So what I suggest is we study what it was like when he wrote that. What were the conditions and the causes that came to make him arrive at that conclusion? If we could just find out what was going on then and make it happen now, then maybe everything could be perfect and no one will die and everyone will be happy. Yeah. So there was never any more inception, never any more perfection, and there's never any more thing than there is now. I mean, we have this illusion of progress, okay? Things are getting better. That's what everyone thinks, don't they? Things are getting better. I tell you what, 100 years ago, I didn't have a care in the world. But then if you think about it, in 100 years' time, I won't either. It's probably swings and roundabouts. So let's just end on 1 minute of pure joy. And I really mean it. Let's just feel it. Feel that joy. Can you feel the joy? We've just got 1 minute to go. I've got to finish at 20 to 3. Just feel the joy. Can you feel it? Who isn't feeling joy? If you're not feeling joy, remember there's something wrong with you. You're blocked. Why can't you feel joy? Everyone else is feeling joy. What's wrong with you? Maybe you'll never feel joy ever again. Maybe you've got something blocked. Maybe there's a reason you don't feel joy. Maybe you're paying for all the times that you did feel too much joy. Is everyone feeling joy? Joy? No, I'm asking where joy is. No, I'm joking. It probably is, yeah. So if you just feel it. Are you feeling it?
My right foot is.
Your right foot is?
Yeah, but my left isn't.
Yeah, well, that's curious, isn't it?
Yeah.
Are you right-footed?
No.
You're not right-footed. You're left-footed.
I'm right-heeled.
You're right-heeled. Right-heeled, but you're... You're right-heeled on the right side, yes, of course, not on the left side. And you're feeling your joy in your right foot, but not your right heel.
Now, that's interesting.
It is, isn't it? I've never had anything like this before. I mean, this man is special and different. Yeah. So, what's that?
I said only on a Sunday.
Only on a Sunday. Do you know the days of the week aren't real? You do know that, don't you? There's no such thing as a Sunday. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's it. Absolutely beautiful moments. And (clears throat)